From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. On today's broadcast, we continue a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, The Lord's Free Men. The text is Romans chapter 6, verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Sin will reign if it can. It cannot be satisfied with any place below the throne of the heart. We sometimes fear that it will conquer us, and then we cry unto the Lord, Let not any iniquity have dominion over me. This is his comforting answer. Sin shall not have dominion over you. It may assail you and even wound you, but it shall never establish sovereignty over you. If we were under the law, our sin would gather strength and hold us under its power. For it is the punishment of sin that a man comes under the power of sin. As we are under the covenant of grace, we are secured against departing from the living God by the sure declaration of the covenant. Grace is promised to us, by which we are restored from our wanderings, cleansed from our impurities, and set free from the chains of habit. We might lie down in despair and be content to serve the Egyptians if we were still as slaves working for eternal life. But since we are the Lord's free men, we take courage to fight with our corruptions and temptations, being assured that sin shall never bring us under its sway again. God himself giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen.
I was lost, but now I'm found, blind, but now I see. Burdened down by sin, till Jesus rescued me. I was in the miry clay, when he lifted me to the blessed rock of ages for all eternity. I am free, he sets me free, from the chains of sin that bound me. I am free, he sets me free, from the darkness all around me. I am free. Walking now by faith, standing on his word,
covered by the blood, rejoicing in the Lord.
Now I know I'm heaven bound in the narrow way, so I keep my eyes on Jesus, and from my heart I say, I am free, he set me free,
I am free,
from the chains of sin that bound me. I am free. Darkness all around me, I am free.
You ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you why. Because my sins, all my sins are gone. And when I meet the scoffers who ask me where they are, I say my sins are all gone. They're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from God.
In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God. My sins are gone. Chains of sin that bound me, I am free. I am free, I am free. He set me free.
I am free
from the darkness all around me,
from the chains of sin that bound me,
from temptations that surround me. I am free. Yes, I am free.
As believers in Jesus Christ seek to witness to the unsaved, they are frequently met by a variety of questions. These might include such queries as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or how do we know that the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions on a DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, Dr. Cairns responded to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to be able to provide you free of charge a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you wish, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here is an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. Continuing his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called Secure in the Incomparable Love of God. The text is verses 5 through 11 of chapter 5. The beginning of verse 5 says that hope maketh not ashamed, or it does not disappoint. As Dr. Cairns points out, the reason this is true is found in the second part of the verse, which says, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. It is the gift of the Holy Spirit to those who have been justified by faith in Christ, which guarantees that believers will never suffer damnation. Paul refers to the Holy Spirit as the earnest, or the down payment of the Christian's redemption, the promise that God will inevitably bring his blood-washed children to heaven. Furthermore, the Holy Spirit witnesses of God's incomparable love to his people, not just as a vast multitude, but as individuals. What a glorious thought it is that God loves each of us personally. Now to continue this message, here is Dr. Cairns.
In many ways, Romans chapter 8 is peculiarly the chapter of the Holy Spirit. Paul speaks of him as the Spirit of life, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, the Spirit that dwelleth in you, the Spirit who enables you to mortify the deeds of the body, the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit who bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, the Spirit who helpeth our infirmities, the Spirit who maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Here the apostle is dealing in detail with what it means when he says God has given us his Spirit. At the moment here in Romans 5, it's just the bare fact. But that's enough for the moment. It's not the person and work of the Holy Spirit he's really wanting to expound at this point in the argument. All he wants to do is impress upon us we have the most solid possible ground for believing that there is absolute security for believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And one such ground is that God has given us his Spirit. Notice with me very carefully that the end of the verse reads in our translation, which is given unto us. This is just one of those cases where English usage has changed somewhat over the years. What Paul was saying is that he was given unto us. And the tense is deliberately chosen. He is referring to one decisive act of God in the past. When he saved us, he gave us his Spirit. And again, sometimes you can go too far in what you read into the tense of a Greek verb. I don't think that is so in this case. But that single decisive act in the past, if I could use the word, it is an encapsulated event. It is a complete event. It is a finished event. And remember what the Bible tells us, what God does is done forever. Never forget that. When God does something, he does it forever. And when he gives us his Spirit, he gives us his Spirit forever. That's the force of the tense. He was given once and for all to us. When he saved us, that's what God did. Thus, our security is immovable. Why? Because God has given us his Spirit. Our assurance is well grounded. Why? Because God has given us his Spirit. Our hope of glory can never be disappointed. Why? Because God has given the very Spirit of God and of glory to us. We're indwelt by the Spirit. As Paul taught the Ephesians and the Corinthians, we are sealed by the Spirit. And in writing that to the Ephesians, he adds, we are sealed unto the day of redemption. Many people misquote that text and say we are sealed until the day of redemption. That's not what Paul said. We're not sealed until, as if there's coming a day when we will be unsealed. There's no idea of until in the text. We are sealed unto that day. We are sealed with the purpose of bringing us to that day. We are sealed because it is God's intention that we cannot and must not miss out on that day. And to ensure that, he has sealed us with the Holy Spirit. As Paul writes to the Ephesians, the Holy Spirit is also the earnest. The earnest is a word that's not used much in English nowadays. It's one of those words that has fallen by the wayside as we have imported other garbage words into our vocabulary. But I can remember in Northern Ireland, out in the country parts of North Antrim, that was a word that would have been in use. When there was a deal done and someone gave a pledge, they gave part of a payment. That was sealing the deal. It was called the earnest. It's the pledge of the full payment. This is what the Holy Spirit is called. He is the earnest of our inheritance. We have not yet entered into glory. We have not yet entered into the eternal fullness of the inheritance in Christ. But we are as sure of having that eternal fullness as if we were already in glory. Why? Well, for one reason, God has given us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is God's pledge to his people, his guarantee of the glory that is to come. So the first thing, the first truth in the argument regarding why our hope cannot ever be put to shame is that God has given us the Holy Spirit. Second line of argument, the Holy Spirit witnesses to us of God's great, and I've used the word incomparable, love for us. Now notice how this is put at the end of verse 5. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Literally, the love of God has been poured in our hearts through the Holy Ghost. I want you to get that picture. The love of God has been poured in our hearts through the Holy Ghost. And in that text, there are four wonderful truths about God's love that assure believers of their security in the Lord Jesus Christ. The first is the fact of God's love. The love of God. Now that little phrase may mean our love for God or God's love for us. Many commentators, including the famous Augustine, Bishop of Hippo, I like pronouncing that, Bishop of Hippo, it always sounds to me rather strange why anybody would want to be a bishop over such brutes. I have no idea, but we'll not get into that. Augustine, he believed it was our love for God. I think he's altogether wrong. Here, the whole sense of the passage is that it's God's love for us. God's love for us. It's an amazing thing, the kind of views that people have of some of the writers of Scripture. I've heard Paul described in many ways. You get the impression that Paul was either a cold logician. Well, he was very logical. A very learned theologian, he was that. A brilliant linguist, yeah, he was that. Sometimes he was the zealot. You get that impression from people that I've heard it said, and I suppose with some truth that he'd have been a very hard man to live with. But the only reason for that is people who are carnal don't like to be too close to a spiritual giant, and people who want to be ice cold in their own spiritual walk don't like to get too near the fire. And that wouldn't be Paul's fault, that would be ours. You get the impression that Paul was this kind of person. Whereas John was the tender, soft-hearted apostle of love. Now John was inspired to write many beautiful things about the love of God. But no more so than Paul. Paul had as one of his most happy themes the love of God for us. When you get to the end of chapter 8, you'll find again that mighty bursting forth, who shall separate us from the love of God? Who'll do it? And then he goes down the list of possibilities, and he says, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Writing to the Corinthians, he says, the love of Christ constraineth us. What made Paul tick? He knew that the Lord loved him. That's what made him tick. What set his soul on fire? He lived in the shadow of Calvary, and he realized the Lord loved me and gave himself for me. That's what controlled his life. And you know, while I'm getting off on a big subject that I really shouldn't even get into, I'm going to say this because I've been told, Debbie was telling me this the other night, when you say I can't get into it, just go ahead and get into it. Well, I'm going to get into it a little bit. We're dealing with justification assurance here, not sanctification at this point in time. But you know, most of our problems with our sanctification, the reason why we are the carnal wretches at times that we despise, the reason why we don't live the way we ought to live, talk the way we ought to talk, walk the way we ought to walk, give the way we ought to give, serve the way we ought to serve, is because we get away from Calvary and we lose the vision and the intimacy and the overwhelming reality. God loved and loves me. Well, just understand that. The fact of the love of God, it's the key to everything. Paul says, that's what makes me tick. That's what constrains me. That's what gets my aching bones out of bed in the morning to tramp miles to bring the gospel to those who want to kill me. That's what makes me take my stand. That's what makes me willing to live, willing to die, because the love of Christ constraineth me. It's a compulsion within me. It's a fire that burns. I know he loves me. Oh, he loved to talk about God's love. He wanted every Christian to think about it and to live in it and bask in it. In Ephesians 3, you have that wonderful prayer of Paul. I remember in prayer meetings here, we may actually come back to this in the months to come, I don't know. But in prayer meetings here years ago, Wednesday evenings, I went through the prayers of the Apostle Paul. In Ephesians 3, you've got one of the most majestic prayers in Scripture, where Paul says, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And he goes on to say what he's praying for, that he would grant them to be strengthened with might by God's Spirit in the inner man, that they, being rooted and grounded in faith, may be able to do what? Now he comes to it. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And he can't even finish the sentence. He has to put it in, and to know. What does he mean? Comprehend. But he says, and to know the love of God which passeth knowledge. Paul, I believe, is saying, I want you to be able to go to your Bibles, and I want you to be able to trace through Scripture the breadth and length and depth and height of God's love. I want you to be able to take the text of Scripture, comprehend what the Bible's saying, but don't think you know anything yet. Do with that great theme Well, J. Kyle Paisley, my old English Bible professor, told me, and I will repeat this story when we get into Romans 6. As he looked across the table at me as his only student, and I couldn't miss the point, it was definitely for me. He said, young man, get on your knees with this open before you and stay there until God burns it into your heart. Ah, that's it. Paul says, I want you to know God's love. I want it to be burned into your heart as it's burned into my heart. I want it to motivate your being. I want it to be your first thought in the morning, your last thought in the evening, your constant thought through the day. I want this to embrace you and to hold you in the arms of the eternal God. I want this to be that all-enveloping truth. Know the love of God. Oh, men and women, let me tell you, this is a wonderful, wonderful fact. And the fact is, if the Holy Spirit witnesses to me of the fact of this immeasurable, incomparable love, then my eternity is absolutely secure.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.